Next, we have the pleasure of a visit to our studio by a guy who has a very high-quality handmade business of his own on Hungry Jack Lake right here in Cook County. I'm talking about Dave Seaton, who has the unique distinction of being a luthier. I don't know of any other luthiers I've ever met in my life, but David, welcome to the Roadhouse. And let's start out with just a little background on how you became a maker of guitars, which is what a luthier does.
Yes, I luth, therefore I am. You know, Duluth was named
after. Duluth, oh, is that after a luthier? I see, thank you.
How I got started making guitars. When I was an early teenager, all my buddies were buying cheapo electric guitars and spending all of their paper route money on them, and they weren't very good. And I was a library rat, and I spent a lot of time at the library, and I found a book about building guitars. And I have always been a hand maker of things mm-hmm. ever since I was a little kid. I made radio-controlled airplanes and model boats and weird little furniture and things like that. And I said, I can build a guitar.
All right. And did you build an electric guitar?
Yes, my first one was an electric guitar. It was based on a Gibson SG. I don't know why. I just decided that that was the thing that I wanted to make. And I took the bus all the way across Minneapolis to Youngblood Lumber Company and bought big boards of mahogany and took them back to my house on the bus. And the bus driver was not amused.
And so did you have the tools you need? I mean...
No, actually, my very first, again, paper route money, I bought a jigsaw from Montgomery Ward's, and I made a disc sander from a washing machine motor and a disc that I was able to find at the hardware store, and I had a hand plane and some rasps, and that was pretty much it.
All right, folks, this is how people become skilled as homemade artists. You start from the bare minimum, really, and now you are older than paper route age.
Yeah,
and you've got yourself a great business.
And a few more tools.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your philosophy of making guitars, and then we'll of course get into some more information about where people can learn about this.
Oh, sure. Again, going back to when I was young, you know, everybody wanted these iconic guitars. They wanted a Stratocaster or a Gibson Les Paul or, you know, a Flying V or something like that. And I've always felt like, well, yeah, if I want one of those, I can go buy it and just save up all my paper route money and buy it. So I tried to make things that were a little different. And mm-hmm. so from the very beginning, I made things that were unusual. And then, I built a bunch of guitars when I was in high school and through my first couple of years of college over winter break and during the summer. And then I worked in a guitar factory for 2.5 years. That's a whole nother story. But so I made the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked at every piece of the factory, from final setups to sanding finishes to everything under the sun. And I thought, whoa, if this is all it is, it's like, no way. So I kind of went back to building custom instruments again, and life happened, and I came up here, and I didn't touch a guitar for 10 years. So when I started building again, I thought, well, again, why would I want to build a knockoff of a Martin D16? You know, I can go buy a Martin D16. So I started thinking about what I wanted to do, and I did things kind of differently, and a friend of mine saw my very first acoustic guitar and said, wow, that's really cool, but is it really what you wanted to do? And I said, yeah, well, you know, it'd be fun to do something really wild, but nobody would buy that. He said, well, I will. So I built that guitar, and it turned out really good.
And this was based on a notion from a customer of what he wanted?
No, it was complete free reign.
Okay.
You know, this is the beauty of creativity and cash.
And time.
Yeah, right. And I did have time to do it in the wintertime. So long story short, Michael Monroe is still playing that guitar. It was not built for him. It was built for someone else. And I got it all finished, and it turned out really good. And I thought, hey, there's this guy in town who's a really good guitar player, and he plays kind of weird, different music, so maybe he'd be interested in this weird, different guitar. And I showed it to him, and he was...
What was weird and different about it?
The body is not symmetrical side to side. If you draw a line down the middle, it's not the same on both sides. 99% of all guitars out there are. The sound hole is not in the front, right underneath the strings where most guitars' sound holes are, which was a structural thing, really not an aesthetic thing. It allows you to do bracing in a different way so that the guitar is more responsive, which worked very well.
Do you get different sound?
Yeah. And that was, again, the goal of the whole thing was to make something that sounded unique, good. You know, unique isn't always good.
Yeah.
And I have had a couple like that, but usually, yeah. You know, that's the joy of experimentation.
And you make guitars that not only look different in design, but have different woods than we normally expect
right.
in a guitar. Tell
yeah.
us about that.
Well, most guitars are made from an environmentally heinous rainforest wood. You know, Honduran mahogany and Brazilian rosewood are the holy grail of guitar woods, and spruces from the mountains in Europe that are, you know, over 10,000 feet and all that sort of stuff. And those are getting to be very rare and very hard to come by, and those trees are disappearing, and people are poaching those trees and ruining indigenous peoples' land bases, because they'll come in and pull out these trees and haul them away, and they don't get any money for it, really. And they don't grow fast. You know, they're not a fast-growing tree. You want an old-growth tree to make a big guitar.
And they're not necessary for building a guitar.
Right. I actually just finished a guitar right now that is white cedar from Gunflint Lake and bird's eye maple from somewhere near Lutzen. Some bird's eye maple from the bottom of Lake Superior, salvage wood, and the other bits and pieces inside are spruce from Cook County, someplace in Cook County. Mm-hmm. So the entire guitar, including the antler knobs and bone and saddle, are from reindeer from Finland, Minnesota.
Really?
So the entire guitar, except for the tuners and the frets, came from Cook County. And it sounds great, and everybody that's played it has been really, really excited about it.
And this is a new version. What other kinds of woods do you use? I saw you use aspen.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah. I think I am one of about four people on the planet that have built aspen guitars. And there are several reasons for that. One of which is that if you try to build it exactly the way you would use a mahogany, you get a pretty rotten-sounding guitar. Aspen is not a stiff wood. It's kind of floppy, but it has very, very long fibers within it, which is why it makes good newspaper. Huh. And so it's very lightweight. It's very resonant. It has a very low frequency range, so you have to brace it in ways to bring out the high end. The Ghost guitar is one that a lot of people have played around the county here. Russ Vinton particularly likes it. That one is all aspen, and I've built several other guitars out of aspen, too.
If you just tuned in here, folks, you're listening to The Roadhouse, and we're here, of course, on Homemade Radio Pledge Drive, but we're talking right now with Dave Seaton from Hungry Jack Lake, who owns and operates by himself Seaton Guitars, makes beautiful, beautiful musical instruments up there on Hungry Jack Lake. And you do other things besides making guitars, don't you, David? I mean, you have another business.
Yeah. My day job, so to speak, is I'm a Boundary Waters outfitter, and we rent cabins also in the summertime. But when Nancy and I first got into that business, it really was with the idea that eventually we would have time in the winter to do other things. You know, the first years it's, you know, you're just re-shingling roofs and doing this and doing that and trying to figure out if you actually have any money or not. And, you know, we've kind of gotten through that stage, so now we can both pursue our artistic things in the winter.
So Nancy pursues her art. She's also an artist.
Yeah, she does fused glass. Mm-hmm. She's also a painter, although the painting has kind of gone by the wayside for the moment, and she's really, really into the glass.
Working on the glass.
Yeah, she loves that.
She does courses at the Art Colony as well. I've got so many questions, but we're going to run out of time pretty quickly here. you're doing a class right now.
Right. I actually just came up here from North House starting tomorrow morning, and there are two openings left in the class.
Okay.
I would have a hard time making that work, but if somebody really wanted to, we could fit you in. We're making ukuleles, all from local woods. It's maple from Dave Eliason's mill. Huh. Spruce from the Blowdown and or a log from Hedstrom's Lumber, and birch from the Blowdown in 1999. And it's a tenor ukulele. It's kind of a medium size. It's a pretty easy instrument to play.
Everybody makes their own?
Yep, everybody's making their own. And then after 4 days, they will walk away with a ukulele with strings on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, folks, if you ever wanted to do that, David is a great guy to teach you how to make one of these things. And you can look up Dave at HJO.com, which is his outfitting business, but also Seton Guitars. Is it Seton Guitars?
SetonGuitars.com. Right.
And David, I hear you name each of your guitars. Is that right? I mean, Michael Monroe told me that one time.
Yeah. That was a nod to a guitar maker that I really admire his work, and he was an odd dude. He named all of his guitars after past girlfriends, which I thought was actually a little strange. So I've come up with names for all my guitars, and I'll never make enough guitars that I'm going to run out of interesting names.
Do you have a contract with the purchaser that they have to use that name on the guitar, or you just tell them what the name is?
No, that sort of ego thing, I gave up on that a long time ago. But pretty much people do. Like for example, actually a really interesting story. I had a guy approach me who wanted me to make a guitar from wood that came from his family's farm. And when I-90 went through just south of Rochester there, his family farm was in the way, and they had a walnut grove. And they had saved some of the wood from one of the trees, so I built a guitar from his family farm. And the guy who actually cut the tree down was his grandfather named Popper, so we named the guitar Popper.
Wow, that's very cool. Well, folks, if you've got some special wood you want Dave to turn into a guitar, I'll bet he can do it.
Within reason. I actually want to get a little pitch in here. Seton Guitar's entire advertising budget is donated to WTIP.
Woo-hoo! Oh, man.
We'd love to hear that.
Thank you very much, David. I appreciate that. Is there anything else you'd like to add here now before we have to break away?
Yeah, I am also teaching a guitar making class at North House at the end of January, early February. We're going to make a little parlor guitar. If you've ever seen Gordon Thorne play his little teeny tiny Martin, 1921 Martin, that guitar is what we're going to build, or at least a reasonable copy thereof.
Sure.
And again, it's a fairly simple instrument, and it'll be not a full high-level multi-thousand-dollar instrument when you're done, but it'll be a really great experience, and I hope that some other people will sign up for it.
Well, if you'd like to see how guitars are made other than in a factory, check out Dave's website, SetonGuitars.com. Beautiful photographs there of your work and the woods you use and the guitars you've made. So congratulations on establishing yourself as a great guitar maker, David, and thank you so much for sharing time with us.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for having me.